I'm now going to hand over to our small drama group for the day, who are going to do a little reenactment of our gospel reading, which will follow.
Early in the morning, the women went to the tomb where Jesus' body had been put. But what they saw when they got there was unbelievable. And now they're on the way to tell the other disciples.
They'll never believe us, you know.
Well, it's pretty unbelievable, but we saw it with our own eyes.
When we got there and the stone had been removed, I wondered what had happened. But then when we looked in and saw his body had gone, I was really confused.
And then when those two men appeared
in their dazzling clothes, then I was even more confused.
I was terrified. I've never seen anything like that before.
And when they said that Jesus was alive, not dead, well, if I wasn't amazed before, I sure was then.
They were right, though, weren't they? When they said that about Jesus, telling us what was going to happen.
I hadn't really thought about it, but yes, he did tell us.
He said the Son of Man would be handed over, crucified, and then raised again to life again. I didn't realise that he was talking about himself, though.
Well, turns out he was talking about himself, and now he's alive. But I'm not sure where he is, and we have to go and tell the others, but they'll never believe us.
We'll just have to tell them everything. Stone, the empty tomb, the men.
They just have to believe us, with all that evidence. Besides, it's the truth.
Still, it's pretty unbelievable.
But with all those clues, they believe it, just like we do.
The disciples couldn't believe the women, but Peter ran to the tomb to see for himself. When he saw that the clothes that Jesus' body had been wrapped up in were laying in the tomb, he was amazed at what had happened.
It's at this point that I reveal the closely guarded secret that Pamela, Sylvia and Rosemary are in training for the relay race at the Olympics. I think Chris is coming to read our gospel reading to us. Thank you, Chris.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 11. And you can find this on page 113 of the Good News Bible. The Resurrection of Christ. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, so they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there, puzzled about this. Suddenly, two men in bright, shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground, as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life. Then the women remembered his words. They returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. They, and the other women with them, told these things to the apostles. But the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, which of our younger people are feeling creative this morning and wise and intelligent? Well, there's some young people who are feeling creative this morning. I'm going to give you some hard work to do. Where are you? Look, they're sneaking round here. Oh, they're already on it. There we are. There's a couple of things for you to do. Where are some other young people? There's some other young people over there. I could do it myself because I'm under the age of 18. I'm only 13 and three quarters. I'm only 13 and three quarters, so I should be able to do something that's difficult, shouldn't I? I get a birthday next year on the 29th of February. There we are. Let's see. See if you can work out what's missing. And you can listen to me at the same time and cause some... You could laugh at my jokes. That would be really good because not many people laugh at my jokes. I haven't done it for quite a while now, but one of the things that I've been known to quite often do, particularly when I'm in a thoughtful mood, is to go and wander around a graveyard or a cemetery. In the book of Ecclesiastes somewhere it says, it's better to go to a home where there is mourning than to go to one where there is a party. Because the living should always remind themselves that death is waiting for us all. Sorrow is better than laughter. It may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understanding. But my wanderings around a graveyard, although as I'll explain a little further in a moment or two, they do fill me with lots of inspiration and thoughts about how I'm living my life. And they also give me at times a source for much laughter and amusement. You see, some people leave either through their own words or through the words of their loved ones or relations in some cases, some very interesting messages on their gravestones. It was Spike Milligan, I think, who said on his gravestone, "I told you I was ill." A dentist in the United States called John Brown has on his tombstone, "John Brown is filling his last cavity." Another one says, this will appeal to certain people here this morning, "Raised 4 beautiful daughters with only 1 bathroom, and still there was love." In Pennsylvania, there's one saying, "Here lies Jonathan Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake." Difficult one. And a Scottish tombstone, again, this might appeal to some people here, although I hope it doesn't, has the following inscription. "Here beneath this stone we lie, back to back, my wife and I. And when the angel's trump shall trill, if she gets up, then I'll lie still." I hope it doesn't apply to anybody here. Peter Ustinov was asked what he wanted on his tombstone. He said, "Please keep off the grass." Others have put, "You're standing on my head." I'll return to the humour in a moment or two, but for now, I'll explain a little further why I find it helpful for me to wander around graveyards or cemeteries at times. It's because I find it reminds me of the shortness of life and the importance of using the time that we have as wisely as we can. And my wanderings around graveyards have been stimulated by a couple of incidents in my life. The first happened on Christmas Day in 1978, when I was 14. The community that I was part of at that time, the place where I spent most of my young years, where the church became in the course of time my sending church to become a minister, woke up on Christmas morning that year to the news that a local choir boy, Peter Wren, had the night before set off to go to midnight communion at the local Anglican church on his bicycle. He was supposed to have been reading a lesson at the service, but he never made it. He was knocked off his bike by one car and then hit by a second car, which killed him. He too, like me, although I never knew it at the time, was 14 years old. My nan and my great-gran are now buried in the same graveyard, so now and again when I'm back home and Mum wants to pop over to the grave and place some flowers on Nan and great-gran's grave, then I wander over with her and I nearly always go to Peter Wren's grave and pause for a moment or two. Peter was the same age as me. I live on. He died. And in amongst the story of all of our lives, though, there is often so much more. And I could say a lot more about how, even though I didn't know him, Peter Wren, or his family really then, over the years, relationships have changed, and Peter's brother almost married a good friend of mine, became a godparent to my two sons, and is still in contact with me, although that relationship is a little distant at this time. But who knows where we might link up with one another next? And who knows who all of you have linked up with in various different ways throughout your lives? There's so many people that we come into contact with, so many relationships that come and go and sometimes come again in our lives. And then in terms of pondering graveyards and wandering around cemeteries, there's the story I could tell of another person I was close to, whose first husband was stabbed to death on the stairwell leading to their flat when he was popping home to fetch something for the youth club he was working at the time. Again, when I'm passing the cemetery where he's buried, at times I've popped in to spend a moment thinking, praying. And all these things do make me think, make me pray, make me aware of my own humanity and the shortness of life itself. Perhaps it's also why, in a strange way, I do have a love for conducting funerals, even when they are tragic. Although I have a sneaky suspicion that every funeral is tragic. But then when we come to today, Easter Sunday, and we come with the women looking for the tomb of Jesus, looking to find his body with their spices ready to deal with the necessary rituals that they were intending to perform. And here on this morning, we find ourselves with them wondering who is trying to play a joke on us. Where has the body gone? Where is he? The stone was rolled away from the tomb. He was not there. Have the Romans been so cruel as to steal his body away and hide it from those who wanted to lovingly pay their respects? Who is this that's trying to play a joke on these mourning women, these sorrowful people? Next Sunday, one of the resource books that I use suggests that it should be called Holy Humour Sunday and encourage people to have a great party and celebrate next week rather than have it treated as a low Sunday, as it's referred to in some of our churches. They suggest that the opening call to worship should go something like this. This is the time to rejoice. What better time than now? This is the time to laugh. What did the pastor say to the people? Let us pray while the pastor juggles lettuces. How many choir directors does it take to change a light bulb? No one knows because no one ever watches the choir director. How many URC members does it take to change a light bulb? Change? URC members don't change. What is the greatest joke ever? The one God played on death on Easter Sunday. I like the desire to have some fun, to celebrate, because that's what happened that very first Easter Sunday. God was playing a joke on death. Jesus has defeated death once and for all. We have no need to fear about our future because Jesus has gone ahead of us. Jesus has dealt with death and we'll be able to follow in his footsteps, triumphing over death if we have faith in him and trust him for our future. The women were confused, perplexed, worried. They didn't know what to think. They had to be reminded of what Jesus had said. Remember how he told you that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. They had to be asked, why do you look for the living among the dead? Is that somehow something what I myself am doing when I wander around cemeteries and read monuments? Look for signs of life, signs of lives well lived amongst the pain and tragedy of death. I think I do sometimes, you know. And strangely, in cemeteries, in funerals, and in other places like that, quite often I find them. I did a funeral a little while back of an 8-year-old boy. The crematorium was packed, as you could imagine. And the floral and balloon and other tributes lined up outside when we exited the crematorium were incredible. The boy who had died was a bundle of fun. And as I pressed the button in the crematorium for the curtains to close, the curtains knocked his picture off of the picture frame, an easel that it was standing on. And the picture, his picture, smashed to pieces on the ground in front of the coffin. The family thought that was wonderful, because they thought that was exactly what he would have done. And then as we wandered out of the crematorium, somebody tugged at my arm and pointed to the sky. And somehow, I guess it was a couple of planes, had crossed. And up in the sky as we left the crematorium was a massive kiss with love from their son. There is so much that we have to think about as we think of our lives, as we go about our daily journeys, our work, our play, our rest time. But Jesus is there, out of the tomb and surrounding us with life and with love. Our lives have meaning and purpose because of that first Easter day. Jesus has won for each one of us a victory over death that cannot be overturned. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Today, this day is indeed a day for celebrating, a day for shouting for joy, because we have been given new life in Christ Jesus. All we need to do now is to work out how we live that new life we've been given. And if you or I need to start again today, we can do so just by inviting Jesus to come alongside us, come into our lives to change us and to work in us so that we become like him here in this world. Amen.